Good evening, man.
Good evening.
Go ahead and get started. We're a little behind on time. So I'd like to first thank you guys for coming out again for our May Men's Monday. Good to see everybody's faces tonight. Hopefully you are enjoying yourself tonight. But we have a treat for you guys. We're going to hear from our very own Les, Brother Les tonight. And then Daniel's going to be teaching chapters 8 through 10 out of our book, Mortification of Sin. So I'm going to go ahead and let Les come up. And he's going to share his testimony. Why don't you give him a hand clap? And I'm sorry, immediately after Les gets done, Daniel, you can come up and start speaking.
First of all, I would have wanted to see if his mic was working right. It's glowing. All right. I believe so. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. Good. I'll try not to blow your ears off. I don't know, at times I kind of get excited and get a little loud. But thanks for letting me come in this evening. Thanks for you guys showing up. Love talking to men. Love to give my testimony. My life has been many blessings. I thank God, you know, first of all, let me introduce myself for those who may not know me completely. My name is Leslie Whitfield Jr. My birthday coming up, I'll be at the right old age of, I can't even say it. I'll be at the right old age of what, 78? My goodness, time goes by fast, just when you're having fun. But you know, that's the way life goes. I'm an industrial chaplain for the workplace at General Motors and Chrysler. I'm the vice chair of the retiree club of Local 235. And there's different chapters in my life that I can think about. But like anything, it's been like a book with a lot of different chapters. The chapter that I want to go into maybe this evening and touch on is a very important chapter. And if we flip from chapters and touch the paces, I've been in the military and served 3 years there. I've been a squad leader. I had different positions. Education-wise, I've been around for a while. Macomb, Henry Ford, Wayne State, different ones. So it's been an ongoing challenge. But my faith has been the most challenging thing in my life. And it's such a blessing. And the thing I have to do, and before I get into, because it's not about really me at all, it's about how I found Christ in my life and how he became real. And this is how I got started. But before you can build anything, you have to have a good foundation. And so I have to establish the foundation before I can start elaborating on what happened. And this is what I believe. I believe in the Bible. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, and the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its history are true. And its decisions are immutable. We read it for us as believers to be wise. We believe it to be safe. We practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you and food to support you and comfort and to cheer you. Christ is his grand subject. Our good to design and the glory of God is his end. This has to be established first. What do you believe in? The scriptures. We're blessed to be here at Berean. We have some great pastors. We have some great elders and deacons. We have some great members. What a blessing to be a part of this church. I base a lot of my teachings on John MacArthur. And I found out that John MacArthur had been here. And what a blessing to know that. Then when I went to the library, I saw a lot of his material there. But as a believers, the Bible is our roadmap, is our guide to take us where we want to go in life. And so at an early stage, I remember I have to give my wife Sharia a lot of credit because she's blessed me with six children, five girls and a boy. I remember when I got started, I were dating another young lady, and I looked like, could this be the one? And she asked me a question, and the question was, how many children would I like to have? And I said, six. And she looked at me, and she said, I'm not having six babies for nobody. Well, that took care of that. I said, well, maybe she's not the one. So I decided, I said, you know, the next time I meet somebody, I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to tell them what I want. I'm going to find out what they want. So I know a way to get around that. So when I met my wife, and things started to get serious, and I'm saying, how many children would you like to have? And my magic number was eight. She said, eight. I said, wow, my kind of woman. I said, now you can ask me the next question. And she said, the next question? She said, yeah. So what should the next question be? I said, you should be asking me, can I take care of you and eight babies in a lifestyle that you think you deserve? And she said, well, can you? And I said, yes. And that's how we got the ball rolling. But I had another problem. The problem is, I want to get married now. And I want to do this thing and set it up right. And based on what society has been telling us all along, that most of us come from what you call a dysfunctional family. Well, I don't know about you. I'll talk about my situation. Let me tell you where I came from. Well, I came out of a second marriage. Of course, my father married my mother, and he had a daughter older than my mother. Wow. And I'm saying, of course, you know, that's my baggage. That's where I came from. My wife, her parents were divorced when she was 12 years old, devastated. She never got over it. She brings her baggage to the situation. I bring my baggage. And we're going to have something better than our parents. No way. You know, your surroundings and where you come from has a lot to do with the way you're going to turn out. Your backgrounds would kill us. So I didn't know how to make it work, America. And I started questioning the idea of marriage altogether, because I had a lot of friends. They married some really nice young ladies back in the day. Very nice. And it just didn't turn out right. You know what I'm saying? So what am I going to do different with the background that I come from and the background of my wife to make this marriage work? My curiosity, I've always started thinking about who came up with this idea of marriage anyway. It's not my idea. I was a young man. I said, variety is the spice of life. But this is not what God's idea of a marriage is. God institutionalized a marriage and said a marriage is sacred and holy in his eyesight. Well, as you can imagine, yes, I spent a lot of time in church because I had an old deacon. He was like clockwork. He told my mother back in the day, if you get them ready, I'll make sure they be in Sunday school in church. And boy, you can set your watch by it. I'll be looking out there sometime, the snow be yay deep. He gonna be there on time. And this goes, see, I'm gonna have to kind of bounce back and forth because I want things to work. And when I found out, you know, with the spiritual background you need, and you need, if you're gonna get into a marriage, I don't know how to make it work, but God has a plan for it. If you're open to the plan, and you line as a believer, you line up with the word and put it into your life, then you're gonna get the results that you need. And you know, the truth is something that we all wanna seek after. But in my life, I done had some what I call wake up calls, moments that grab my attention and I should need to address right away. One of the wake-up calls I have, I'm not gonna really get into all the chapters of the military, but I had a wake-up call because I almost got myself killed over there. And the wake-up call to me is, whew, you know, the reality is, for a near-death situation is, boy, I'm really glad I said my prayers every night. And I heard a voice said it wasn't your prayers that saved you. And I'm saying, then if it wasn't my prayer, then what saved me? Then it was a prayer, my prayers of my parents, prayers of the people at church praying for me. And that really disturbed me. Because, you know, you like to think when you pray that your prayers are getting through, but it all depends on your life and how your action, how it all lines up. And you find out it's not getting through, that disappointed me. And then I start to notice a pattern. I get these spirit. I hear these voices speaking to me, and you know, your conscience, as we like to sometimes call it. And really, it was the spirit trying to lead me and guide me, but. You know, after you bump your head so many times against a wall, the question is, how many times do you have to bump your head on that wall before you realize your head's gonna give for that wall will? Well, we have to go through that at a young age. That's part of growing up. That's part of learning your lessons in life. Instead of not yielding to the spirit as it gave me direction, instead of overriding it, I started to learn how to yield to it. It's trying, as a believer, the Spirit is trying to help us. It can only help us if we start to listen to it. We have an option. Our option is we can override it. And there's a piece of scripture said that I came across and said, when you do that, you know, to grieve the Spirit, it really want to help you. And I know that feeling, because when you really want to help you, even your children, you really out to help them, but they refuse your help. That grieves you a little bit, because you wish they would listen more. and they'll get better results. So it is with us in life. So I have to start really finding out what I don't know. And there's a lot of things I don't know it. I need help. And I'm thankful for God's word. The scripture says if you need something or you want to be you want to know scripture and how to apply it in your life, you have to study it. So I started studying scripture to be approved. If you want to know more about how to use your faith and how to walk by faith and not by sight, you learn from practice, from doing it. It's the application. And the consistency of what you do over a period of time will speak for itself. You know. So let's get back to, I want to get married here. Because I can go on and on about, that's another chapter too. But you want to get married. And so the question is, and I had to face, I'm in love. Oh boy, I've heard that so many times. You read it in so many books, you see it on all the soap operas, love. And I was in love. But to be honest with you, what I found out, as men, we don't know what love is until we learn what it is to love God. Because I say, well, because the Spirit came to me and said, well, I tell you what I used to do too, because I used to practice on, because I know when you tell a woman that you love her, it plays with her feelings and her emotions. I knew that. I mean, you could just see it as a young man. I used to go around, man, I was telling everybody I love them, especially the ladies. And it got to the point where I would even practice this. I would go home, I would look in the mirror, look at myself, say, I love you. And I said, no, that didn't come across that way. You gotta drop the voice down and say it really slow. I love you. Yeah, I think that'll work. And so I heard a voice say, what do you want? Well, I just kind of ignored it. I'm practicing my little routine as a young man. I love you. A voice again said, what do you want? I don't want anything. I'm just practicing. So I said, do you know what love is? Okay. I said, okay, I think I can figure this out. Did I know what love is? I said, well, I got dictionaries. Dictionary gives you meaning the words, right? So I got Webster Thorndike dictionary, looked it up. According to Webster and Thorndike, you can love everything. You can love your job, your car, your money. Oh, you can love anything. Then the question is, what does scripture say love is? What does the Bible tell us love is? To put it shortly, God is love. And love is God. So, to love her, I first gotta be able to love God more than I love myself and her. So I'm saying it's true love. The scripture talks about agape love, the true love of God. You know, it doesn't come with a condition. We love a lot of times with conditions. The condition, boy, she got to have a job. That's a condition. The money, conditions. Unselfish love doesn't come with condition. And when you tell a woman, I love you, and I had to stop saying it that way to my wife, and I started saying it this way. I expressed it, I love the God that I see in you. Wow. And she would say to me, in the same words, and I love the God I see in you. And six babies later, that's what that love brought about, six babies. Well, we were married for 43 years, and she done passed away to be home with the Lord. And I always tell people, be careful what you ask for. I wanted eight babies. You don't find too many people at 21 running around talking about they want eight babies. And you know, you want to get into your careers, you want to get into your life. Yeah, I got you. But it's been a great journey for me. But it's only been a great journey because the key to a lot of things, a lot of people have mastered that four-letter word, love. I said, if I can't master this, how can I master anything with more letters than four? To love God, that's who you haven't seen, and to hate your brother, who you've seen every day, the scripture addresses that. So that's why I tell you, until we learn what it is to love God more than you love yourself, your mother, your brother, your sister, you haven't mastered love yet. That's what true love is. And I tell you something else about love. Over time, because I see people say, well, you know, we kind of grew apart over a period of time. Do what? You know, our love has kind of faded away and kind of went down. True love can never decrease in time. It can only increase. As time went on, I didn't love her less. I love her more. It grows. And then, you know, I always get somebody to say, well, what if you find yourself in a decreasing situation? I said, well, you know what you had to do to get her. I suggest you keep it up so you can keep her. But love, true love, will never, ever decrease in time. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey in my life. But I've loved it all the way. And what a blessing. As the children come, I was having these children. I was blessed. I wanted eight. I was blessed with six. But be careful what you ask for, because the nieces, they came up every summer. And then after, I wind up with about nine children every year for a long time. And that was fun. That was fun. I love children. Today I have about 10 grandchildren, and I lost my daughter. She's going home to be with her mother and the Lord. And it's all good. It's all good. And I found out too that, you know, you're gonna have some ups and downs in your life. You're gonna have some voids in your life. But, you know, God has a way of filling in those voids and those moments so you can get through this. You know, I don't know, like I said, I'm gonna be 78 minutes, I don't know. I looked in the mirror, I turned around, and I looked again and said, who is that? It went that fast. Time is not on our side. We gotta get this thing right as soon as possible. And especially for believers, so, yeah. And, I just pray for the church and the members here, and those who came out this evening, you know. Pray for your children and your grandchildren. Prayer is powerful. Love is more powerful. You know, there's many gifts the scriptures tells us about. But the greatest of all the gifts is love. we as men, leaders, every man is a potential leader. I say potential leader because for some reason, some of us don't want to lead. Some of us don't feel that we are good leaders. Well, and that's why you have God's word to help us understand our roles, our positions in life, and what it is, what it takes to be a good leader. You know, society tries to tell you that everything's 50-50. Well, men, I got news for you. The buck stops with us. How well we grounded spiritually will determine how well our families will function and how things is going to turn out. And I wanted it to be, I want to be a good leader. But I don't know how to be a good leader unless I line up with God's word. Once you have committed your life to Christ, and once you grasp the understanding of the gospel, I love where Pastor Terry Isaiah's the fifth gospel. Yeah. You know. And I love the scriptures because it's a roadmap that teaches you and tells you how to navigate your life in a world that want to see you defeated. But we are overcomers because we're in Christ. If you love God, and if God is for you, then who can be against you? This world, we are overcomers. Boy, if we could teach this. You know, we go to school, we get our education, we go from one level to the next. Before you can get to that next level, there's a test. If you think as a believer you can go through this life and you don't get tested, then how do you know which level you are? I used to talk to some friends of mine and I would tell them, let me give you three levels and you can decide which level you are. I said, there's three levels of this. Stages of spiritual growth and maturity. There's a crawling level as a babe. There's a walking level. And there's a running level. So you have to decide out of those three levels where you at spiritually. Well, when I was telling this to a friend, he just flipped it back around on me and said, tell me, where are you at? Now, you could always say I'm walking. That'll put you in the middle. But if you 80-some years old and you're still walking, that's when you should be running, that's a problem. And if you're that old and you're crawling, that's a big problem. So they flip it around and say, okay, you tell me where you at. I said, I'm at the running level. And they said, oh, yeah, running. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, because you're running, or you think you're at the running level, you haven't made it yet. You have a responsibility that everybody that you see walking and crawling, you should be helping them. Your work ain't cut out. You got more work to do. The question is, we have the time to get it done. You know, once you achieve things at a certain level, all you find out is, man, I got even more work to do now. Mm-hmm. So we're always in a process of learning and growing. And I said, well, maybe I could this day I can share something with you guys. Hopefully it will help you to learn, grow, and continue on in your faith. And I wish you good well. I wish you good health and strength as we try to be there for each other. But at Berea in here, we're at the right place to learn and to grow. And I'm thank God for that. You know, a lot of times the church, you search for a church home and you say, man, I've been searching for this church home a long time. I didn't find this church home. My son and my son-in-law found it. So you gotta go there and hear this guy. you know. But as believers, our role is once we line up with the word and try to, our lives line up with the word and we try to live it out, you're going to love the results. You're going to love the result. It's a win-win situation for a believer, you know, when you line up with God's word in your life. So I just thank you again for this opportunity. I thank Quentin for having me to come in and share this moment with you and this testimony with you. I hope it's been somewhat of a little encouragement for you, and I just wish you the best in your spiritual growth. And remember, you love the God you see in her, and she loves the God she sees in you. And that's true love. Thank you.